Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Good morning and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Deanna Potter, your petite powerhouse and your host for Sassy Sales and Business Development. And with me today is our leading lady, Miriam Torres. And she is with J.P. Morgan Chase, and I am thrilled to have her as our guest today. Good morning, Miriam.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And our topic today is finding mentors in a man's world. And Miriam, you and I have been friends for quite a bit now and professional colleagues, and I just adore you, and I'm so impressed by your story and the amount of success you've had there at J.P. Morgan Chase. And some of the conversations we've had around mentoring has evolved statistics that we're all so familiar with. You know, you and I have talked about the fact that women currently hold only about 14.6% of the executive officer positions, and only about 16.6% of corporate board seats are occupied by female members. So for those of us in corporate America or out there in the professional world, it becomes more and more challenging to find support and encouragement and guidance as professionals when it comes to female role models. So when you go back and you look into the earlier years of your career, did you have female role models available to you, or did you struggle to find those?
You know, I would say now it's a little bit more of a struggle. But when I started my career, I actually still am really good friends with the executive officer of the nonprofit that we were working for. Gosh, I started as a volunteer and then became an intern and then, you know, got a job, got promoted a couple of times. But her name was actually Dana Serrano. She was a great mentor. She really set the path on just being an independent woman, thinking for myself. She gave me the freedom to create, you know, she gave me goal and direction, but then she said, okay, Miriam, go ahead and make it happen. And being the A-type personality that I am, I loved to hear that. Lots of freedom with direction. It was terrific. So I did actually, stepping into, you know, the workforce and stepping into my career, the first boss that I had was quite a mentor, and still is a mentor, actually. So, but, you know, I still remember her, and I feel like a lot of what I do and how I approach things, I learned right off the bat. After that, however, I don't, you know, I couldn't say the same that, you know, I've ever found another mentor or that I had any ease finding another one.
Really? You know, I hear from so many women, they say that if they did have a woman in a leadership role above them, that unfortunately she was not supportive. And in fact, they ran into situations where she may have even been harsh to them. Did you run into that? And even if you didn't, why do you think that sometimes that can be the case?
I did run into that, and I feel like I run into it, you know, a little bit more now in my current position. I feel like, you know, when you're the only woman and maybe, you know, there's two or three other of you and everyone else is a man, I feel like sometimes there's a false expectation that you need to have, you know, be tough. And unfortunately, sometimes instead of, you know, being supportive or helping people, another woman grow into, you know, your leadership role, a lot of women feel defensive, or they feel like, you know, no one helped me on my way up, so why would I help you, type of a thing. So unfortunately, I feel like in the corporate world, I've gotten a little bit more of that. So, you know, as far as in looking for a mentor, that would be terrific. But But I haven't had any success in finding one in the corporate world.
You know, it's so frustrating for me to hear that, and I know that so many of the people I've talked to have experienced that. You currently hold the position of Vice President for Business Relationship Management, and you made the comment earlier in your career, you had a couple of promotions. I have to laugh at that because even in the period of time I've known you over the last several years, you seem to be the queen of promotions. And I know that sometimes it's hard for us to take compliments, and you laugh, but it seems like every time I see you or I go to your LinkedIn profile, it's like, my goodness, girlfriend, every time I look at you, it's like you seem to be getting these promotions left and right. You are, when I explain or I talk to people about you, you are serious about business. I know you are. And, you know, it's amazing to me because I think as women, one of the things that I hear from so many people that I interview or experts that I talk to who are, you know, that study women in business, they say some of the things that we struggle with the most is this theme of not negotiating or asking for our value or our worth, and that men are very good in realms of competition where women want to be rewarded for simply doing a good job. And I know you and I have talked a lot about women who are comfortable in that competition or work well with men, sometimes other women look at them and maybe either find them intimidating or don't necessarily want to play in the sandbox with them. And being that you are so comfortable there, do you find that sometimes that you are more comfortable or kind of accepted more in a, let's say, boardroom with men, and that other women that are your peers, maybe do you feel as comfortable or that?
Yeah, I love competition, and so maybe that is why I do work well with men. It is a little bit tougher sometimes to work with women, unfortunately. You know, every once in a while you'll find a kindred soul, but even so there's a certain distance. And maybe it is because there are such little women competing, and it's mostly men. So I guess sometimes it's quite an achievement for you to get promoted or, you know, kind of go up the ranks as a woman. But, yeah, unfortunately, I feel like there's just a lot of times a lot of pettiness or things. And I, like you mentioned, I'm all about business, and I think something that's, you know, definitely helped my – success at work and the corporate world is that I try to be kind and friendly to everyone, but at the end of the day, it's always about business. And I think, unfortunately, what I've seen sometimes is other women get caught up maybe in the pettiness of this or that, and it's unfortunate because I think that that we should be mentors to one another and mentees, you know, and help each other grow and know what's, you know, what has made someone above me successful or how I can make someone, you know, below me successful. But it is a little it's different than dealing with men, that's for sure. I don't feel there's much pettiness with men. It is more business.
Interesting. Can you, so another thing that you've told me before, and this just floored me, you mentioned to me a story, and it was amazing, that you were applying for a job, and the person that you was interviewing you had your resume in their hand. You know the story I'm talking about. That person took you, oh, I love, this story was amazing. You shared with me this amazing story that you were applying for a job, and the person had your resume in their hand, took the resume while you were sitting there, crumpled it into a ball in front of you, threw it right in the trash, and looked at you and said, if I caught this right, at the time, several years ago, market wasn't good, everybody was out looking for a job, and crumpled the resume in front of you and said, Miriam, your resume right now, as I look at it, looks like the same 200 resumes that are sitting in this stack. I need to know what makes you different from the other 200 resumes. And threw it in the trash and looked at you and said, tell me what makes you different. I've got to know first, how did you feel in that moment? What did you learn from that experience, and how did it change you?
It was a bit, shocking at the moment. It definitely widened my eyes. I was pretty prepared for that interview only because it was a completely, not a complete different industry, but it was definitely different than my previous job. But, you know, I just took him for what he was saying, which was, literally, you know, why should I pick you? These other 200 people have the same exact resume as you do or can offer the same as you do. And what I heard him telling me was how are you standing out? You know, why should I pick you? And so, you know, after the initial shock, I just told him stories, you know, on how I had treated clients or, you know, what my numbers were as far as in, you know, my sales and, you know, just in my, a lot about my character as well and what made me different from other people. But I actually had real life situations where I could, you know, tell him right on the spot of how I did stand out and how I did look different and how I was able to be, you know, a trusted advisor for my clients and gain their business and their trust. And so that was why he, you know, decided to pick me. So
and do you
how
think
it changed me? Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, please continue.
No,
continue. Yeah.
As far as in how it changed me, I think it just kind of set, it had been a while before that I had been in the corporate world. So, you know, like I said, I had really prepared for the position, had, you know, before I even met with him and just really understanding what they were asking of me, even studying, you know, some of the things that I would need to know for the position. And so I think it just set the tone for my career, you know, going into banking. I just really have always tried to be prepared and, you know, have all the knowledge that I can beforehand and really kind of be on my tippy toes. And so,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you said just then was that you talked about your results, your numbers, your stats. And I know that, you know, I hear more and more how bottom line is so important. You and I participated in an event recently, and we sat there and listened to a panel of CEOs, and they said at the end of the day, you better be able to tell them the bottom line numbers. That story, mm-hmm. that experience, and we're going to start to talk a little bit about the business resource group that you've created. When you're mentoring someone, how much emphasis do you put on that for somebody that you're talking to about going through the ranks, about, you know, building their career and their reputation? Is that an important piece of what you try to teach them?
That's the number one piece of what you try to teach them. So it's number one is, and this is, you know, corporate America, you know, where I work, numbers is number one as far as in you – before you have, I mean, you can have a terrific reputation, but at the end of the day, we're not a nonprofit business. We're a for-profit business. So if you do want to get promoted or move from one line of business to another, first and foremost, you have to do your job and do it right and be a top producer if you can. If not, you know, at least be, you know, hitting your numbers. Then you can set yourself, I believe, a platform to maybe do some other things in the company, some extra things in the company that'll get your name out there, and kind of work other ways of getting networked and connected to the right people to get promoted or to move on or to get to the place where you want to get to in your career. But as far as in the corporate world, in my experience, if you don't have those numbers, and if that isn't first and foremost in mind, you're probably not going to, you know, not that you won't keep your position, but as far as moving forward, that's the number one thing that I mentor to. First, do your job.
Got it.
Go ahead and move forward.
Got it. So you know how impressed I am with the launch of your business resource group, and I know it's an award-winning group. So tell us a little bit about what made you do it? What made you create it, launch it, and where did it all begin? Give us a little history on how it all started.
Okay. Well, at Chase, I am the chair of the Adelante Business Resource Group, and we were recognized by the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce actually last year for a lot of the things that we have and that we're doing. But each Fortune 500 company has a business resource group, and what ours does is it promotes development and growth in our employees' career. Specifically supposed to be tailored to Latinos, but we have all sorts of people in our group. But we do a lot of mentoring. We try to have a bridge so that and a networking platform for all of our employees that are interested in you know, growing their career, maybe self-promoting and just changing in lines of business. Chase is such a huge company that, you know, you can have all types of careers there. You don't necessarily need to go to a different company. There's so many lines of business. So what the business resource group tries to do is, you know, besides the business development, is also introduce people to the right connections, the right, you know, executive management and other lines of business for growth opportunities for the career. So, yeah, that's a little bit of what we do in San Diego right now. We have quite a bit of things going on. We do a series of what's called a lunch and learn, which is a little bit of a mentorship with an executive manager. And we have 20 people, you know, 20 members, you know, from Adelante come and they get to just learn everything from, you know, how to interview well, how to write a resume to, you know, personal stories on executive management and how they got to where they are. So, yeah, it's been really successful, really popular. Our last event had about 200 people where we just did a networking event. And we have a lot more good things planned this year.
So you had almost 200 people at your last event. And obviously, are all of these people a formal member of the resource group, or is it open to people even who are not members?
It's open to people that are not members. So, yeah, they're not a formal member necessarily.
So it's an open-door policy. And tell me, you know, logistically, if we have somebody on the listening right now that says, you know what, that is something that could really benefit my organization. It's something that as a community effort, you know, I want to start to really try to support women in business or in my organization, and I believe that mentoring is something that could really boost, you know, the power of women in our group. How would they start this? I mean, did it already exist at Chase and you decided it's missing in our area, so you were able to go to HR and say we want to bring it to our area, or did you, you know, start it from the, you know, grassroots effort up?
No, it already existed. It existed okay. In the Southern California, had a board. And we did okay. not have a board. And so what I did was create the board for San Diego and create a chapter for San Diego. Okay. You know, San Diego being so close to, you know, Latino, obviously there's a huge Latino community here. And yeah. being that we didn't have one, I felt it was totally necessary to create okay. something that we could all benefit from.
Okay, got it. So what do you think are some of the most important skills necessary to be a good mentor?
To be a good mentor.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I would say to be available mm-hmm. and to be, you know, honest and, you know, to take some time with the mentee. But yeah, I mean, I don't know when you're looking for a mentorship that you're looking necessarily for a guidance on your own career. I think that you're just looking for someone who is available, someone that you, you know, respect, that you aspire maybe to be. And, you know, they will give you some input and some good advice on how to manage certain, you know, situations. And for example, for me, in my corporate world, maybe experiences that I've been through that I could share or experiences that my mentor has been through that could share with me. It can make me all the much, you know, wiser or better at my job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned something that can be a sensitive topic for some people, and that's that time issue. You know, we all are a little bit overwhelmed with how much and how full our lives are. So how much time do you find a mentor is needing to set aside in order to be involved? As an example, in your business resource group, what are the mentors finding they're having to dedicate or set aside in order to properly participate in the group and to help these, you know, rising stars?
I would say once a month, a conference call is what I've seen, or if they're close by, then I've seen a lunch maybe once a month.
Okay.
You know, yeah, it's not a huge commitment that I've seen. You know, there could be a lot more informal talk, like, you know, depending on the mentor and the mentee and how well they connect and how available the mentor is. it could be more conversations via telephone, but one, you know, purposeful conference call a month is usually enough, you know, undivided time per se to to get some input and some connection.
Okay. So logistically, I think that gives people a clearer idea. So that's good to know. Now, what do you find some of the mentees that you had, some of these, I'm going to call them rising stars, what do you find some of the stronger candidates, some of those who really have, you know, taken this opportunity and really gone far with it? What were some of the skills that they demonstrated that really showed, gosh, you know, here's somebody that understands this opportunity, is really taking what we're giving them and really using it and going far with it? What were some of the skills that they demonstrated that really showed you, here we've got somebody who's really going to go far?
I would say knowing how to take advantage of the situation and make the time. So, for example, I have a mentee that has wanted, you know, a certain position for a very, very long time. He feels that in his market, you know, those positions are not going to be available in 5 to 10 years. So what he's done through the mentor program is connected with someone in the Riverside area, whom he feels would be someone that would have, you know, an open position in the future, or, you know, has the position that he wants and he can connect with and figure out how to, you know, get his position and maybe move to a different area. And so, you know, they meet once a month, and he's really picked at her mind as far as, in, you know, what he needs to do and who he needs to know to be where she's at. So, you know, I see that he has, you know, continually let her know what his achievements are, made his interest clear. You know, this is kind of what I expect from us meeting. Is this realistic? And then the rest of it is just mentorship on what can I learn from you, or what advice do you have to give me?
So it sounds like candidate is creating opportunity and being proactive, not just being passively sitting on the sideline.
Exactly. Exactly.
Gotcha.
He took the mentorship program and is going to make it into a growth opportunity for him. Exactly.
Got it. So for those of us who have a little experience under our belt and are you know, kind of out there, you know, working and, you know, playing the game and out there plugging along, what do you think that we can do today to improve the ground rules and break open the pathway for us now so that those women or younger ladies coming up the ranks behind us may have greater opportunities and better abilities for leadership roles or mentoring opportunities? How can we kind of pave the path to them?
I would say creating opportunities like you and I and Women of Influence are doing, which I would say one is education and two is mentorship. A lot of, you know, what may come naturally to someone is, you know, may not come naturally to another person, but by no means does not mean that both people could be qualified or could equally, you know, grow in corporate America or just in business. So if someone actually, you know, wants to grow in the corporate world or obviously wants to grow, you know, whatever their business is, and they take some time to educate themselves and they take some time to get some mentorship, I would say that is absolutely huge. If I have to say that anything has made me successful, it's been being able to, you know, promote myself and being able to tell my stories and being able to let my management and executive management know exactly what it is that I'm looking for or what the next step is that I'm looking for. And that is what I would say has led me, you know, to be promoted in, you know, 5 years, 4 times. So that it would be just having a clear direction on what you want. Now, I don't know that, you know, as we were speaking before, it sounds like, you know, for some people it is hard to self-promote yourself and to say, you know, okay, I'm doing my job is enough. But if I would, you know, have a piece of advice for women that have all the talent to grow in their business and in their career, I would say don't be shy to promote yourself. Don't be shy to be politely blunt about what you want and what direction you're going. Yeah, because if you don't, then no one's going to hear you. And then, so it's not that you don't have a ton of people that could be promoted. It's that you may have other women that maybe have had the same success in their position as far as in their numbers or their success, bottom line. However, they're not, maybe the difference between them and me is that I promoted myself and they didn't. They picked the I'm just doing my job kind of approach. Where you need to be a little bit more blunt about what it is that you want, what the next level is for you. And that shows management that you do have direction, that you do know where you're going, and that you are not only, A, fulfilling your position, but you're confident that you can fill the next position.
That is wonderful.
That would be my
that
advice.
Is absolutely,
yeah.
That is wonderful. That is so great. And I love the politely blunt. That is so fantastic. You know, and what you were describing there, the word that I just wrote down that came to mind is ambition. It shows that you have ambition. And I think that sometimes, you know, we can, when we do our job and we do a stellar job, but sometimes we appear to just be content. And, you know, we're getting a paycheck and we're doing a good job. They're happy. We're performing well. So we're satisfying the company. And if we don't say, hey, did you see the good job I did and I'm still interested in moving on and doing more, they assume we're content. They're content with the performance we're doing. And if somebody else says, yeah, I'm doing well, but I'd like to do more, they know that. They're communicating it. And they don't realize that we're also interested if we don't, as you put it, politely and bluntly promote ourselves. So brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I forgot the ratio. I should have known to say that at the beginning. Yes, in case anyone missed that subtle promotion that Miriam just did, that was 4 promotions in 5 years. That's correct. That was the number I forgot to mention. So before I forget, I want to make sure that if anyone is interested in following up with you, learning more about what you do as Vice President of Business Relationship Management at JPMorgan Chase, how can they follow up best with you? Would you like them to contact you through LinkedIn, or how would you like them to do that?
Yeah, the best contact, I would say the easiest way to contact me would be through LinkedIn. Just, you know, my name, Miriam L. Torres, spelled M-I-R-I-A-M, Torres, T-O-R-R-E-S, and then middle initial L. And my name and position will pop up. It's not private. You can feel free to email me through there, and we can communicate that way.
Great. And all of us who are excellent LinkedIn users, by all means, go ahead and make a little note that you heard her on her radio broadcast today. That way she knows where and how that you connected or you heard all this wonderful information. And Miriam, I have to tell you, everything that you do always impresses me. And I love how successful and serious you are about business. I have a lot of admiration for everything that you do, especially as a leader when it comes to mentoring and serving as such a powerful and solid role model for women. So I can't thank you enough for being here today with us. And I want to thank everyone for listening to our show today. Again, I am Deanna Potter, your powerful petite powerhouse, and I want to thank you. And as a special thanks to our listeners, we will all be back again next Monday morning for another Women Leading the Way radio show. I want you to have a fabulous week, and thanks again for listening. And just have a great week, and be prosperous. And again, this was brought to you by Connected Women of Influence, and have a great week. Thank you again, Miriam. Just wonderful stuff. Thanks again.
Thanks, Deanna. Take care.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.